On Tuesday's front page, one day after the last U.S. combat troops left, Iraq plunged into political crisis. Its Shiite-led government issued an arrest warrant for the Sunni vice president. In North Korea, Kim Jong-il's son is stepping forward as the country's new leader. The big question is whether Kim Jong-un can hold on to power. And using peers to reduce the costs of caring for people with addictions and mental health problems. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Iraq's Shiite-led government issued an arrest warrant for the Sunni vice president. The charges came one day after the last U.S. troops left the country and marked a sharp escalation in sectarian tensions. Vice President Tariq al-Hashemi was accused of running a hit squad that assassinated government and security officials. The government backed up the allegations with a half-hour television broadcast. It featured confessions from men who said they'd blown up cars and attacked convoys. They said they were paid in American money. Many Sunnis doubt the charges. They say Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki is moving to marginalize rivals. Also on Tuesday's page one, world leaders are trying to figure out whether North Korea is facing a power struggle in the wake of Kim Jong-il's death. The official North Korean press said his youngest son would succeed him. But as Times reporter David E. Sanger tells us, Kim Jong-un is an unknown even in his own country.
Until about 2 years ago, the most the CIA file had on him was a picture of him in Switzerland where he was a student. Kim Jong-un is in his late 20s. He only in the past year has been given military posts in the North Korean military. There is a great deal of uncertainty about whether or not he commands the respect or the loyalty of any of North Korea's leaders. If North Korea actually did collapse, the scramble would be on to seize or immobilize its nuclear arsenal. And that could put the United States, South Korea, and perhaps China all in the same North Korean territory looking to find those nuclear weapons. That could be a prescription for a lot of trouble. It's very possible, some believe, that Kim Jong-un may help provoke an incident that would put him at the center of a military challenge to the South. And it's exactly what has many in the White House and the Pentagon worried.
Times reporter David E. Sanger. Kim Jong-il died on a train on Saturday morning. Intelligence services from South Korea, China, and the U.S. had no clue. Tuesday's Times says it's not the first time they've failed to pick up something big in North Korea. Washington has little information about Kim Jong-un and the palace intrigue in Pyongyang, so a lot of the Obama administration's response will be guesswork. Antonio Lambert is a self-taught ex-convict turned mental health educator. The last time he felt he was relapsing, he texted a friend who talked him down. The mental health system has long made use of peers. They're controversial, but recent research suggests peer support can reduce costs. There have been more peers since 2007, when federal health officials said states that trained them could bill for peer services under Medicaid. Inside Tuesday's Times, AT&T is bowing out of its $39 billion bid to buy T-Mobile. AT&T acknowledged it couldn't overcome opposition from the Obama administration. The Justice Department and the FCC had moved to block the deal amid concerns it would raise prices, reduce innovation, and give customers fewer choices. Tuesday's Business Day section also says a Saudi prince is investing $300 million in Twitter. Prince Waleed bin Talal said the purchase fit into his strategy of investing in promising, high-growth businesses. He also owns a stake in such blue-chip companies as Citigroup, General Motors, and Apple. As for Twitter, the shares he's buying come from early investors. They value Twitter at $8.4 billion in all. The new conservative prime minister of Spain is promising to shrink government, clean up troubled banks, and introduce corporate tax breaks. Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy says all that will bring down Spain's budget deficit and get investment going again. Rajoy appeared before Parliament for the first time since his center-right populist party routed the socialists last month. Here in New York, Suzanne Hart's co-workers gathered to remember her. She was the 41-year-old advertising executive who was crushed to death last week. It happened in an elevator in the company's headquarters on Madison Avenue. Y&R Chief Executive David Sable said he gave her 8 weeks to redesign an in-house website. It was an assignment that could easily have taken 7 or 8 months, but he said she delivered exactly what he wanted. The Y&R building remains closed while the city investigates what went wrong. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.